Seeker's Bible Study Course, Lesson 5, Water Baptism. Although none of us deserve salvation, God wants all of us to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. None of us could ever do enough good deeds to earn salvation. But in order to have our sins forgiven, we must meet the conditions God has set forth. These include faith in Him, repenting of our sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and being buried with Christ in baptism. At that moment, the blood of Jesus washes away our sins. Most religious groups will agree with all the other conditions, faith, repentance, confession, but many will deny that baptism has anything to do with salvation. This lesson will demonstrate that baptism is essential to salvation, and why. By now, it is clear that salvation is a process that begins with hearing the Word of God, which produces faith. But at what point is a person cleansed from his sins? Some teach that God saves a person the moment he believes. Others think salvation comes at the point of repentance or confessing the deity of Jesus. What people, even good and sincere people, think and say does not matter. What does the Bible teach? As we saw in lesson number 4, Peter taught the people to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. It is in the act of baptism that the process of salvation is completed initially. Consider the man called Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, who persecuted the church. Having persecuted Christians in Jerusalem, he was on his way to Damascus to stir up trouble there also. On the way, he was struck blind, and Jesus talked to him from heaven. Paul now knew that the Jesus he had been persecuting was the Son of God. Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. But was he saved yet? Saul was so repentant that he neither ate nor drank for 3 days. Acts chapter 9, verse 9. He spent the time continually praying. Acts 9, verse 11. Did any of these things save him from his sins? No. He still had his sins when Ananias came to him. If anyone could be saved by fasting and prayer and being sorry for what he had done, Saul would have been. But Ananias spoke to him with these words, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Saul's sins could be washed away only when he was baptized, thus completing the salvation process. Jesus likened this process to physical birth. When a baby is conceived in the mother's womb, the child needs time to grow, develop, and be able to survive once it is born. After the child is born, he is taught the important matters of life. When the Word of God, called the seed in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, is planted within one's heart, it takes time for him to understand it and decide to obey it. When one is baptized, he is born again, a spiritual birth. Jesus taught these truths to a man called Nicodemus. Jesus told him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." John chapter 3, verse 5. Baptism is the last step in the new birth process. The jailer in Philippi was taught the Word of God sometime after midnight. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. When he asked what to do to be saved, Saul, who was now the Apostle Paul, answered him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Acts chapter 16, verses 31 through 34. Notice that the hearing the Word of God was so important that the jailer awakened his family to hear what Paul had to say. The message Paul preached to these people must have included baptism. Furthermore, they must have regarded baptism as essential to salvation, or they would not have been baptized at such an unusual hour. Notice that they all rejoice after they were baptized, having believed in God. Next, we want to consider the Ethiopian eunuch. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this same scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Acts chapter 8, verses 35 and 36. Notice that if Jesus is preached properly, baptism is taught. There is no other reason why anyone would want to be baptized when Jesus is preached, unless to preach Christ means to tell someone how to have his sins forgiven, which includes baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Let the Bible explain this further. We know that those who do not obey the gospel will be lost. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. But what does it mean to obey the gospel? If the gospel is the death of Christ on the cross for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, how can we obey that? We obey a form of that doctrine or teaching. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. We die to sin, we are buried with Jesus in baptism into his death, and we arise to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. This is how a person obeys the gospel in baptism. Many religious groups substitute sprinkling for baptism, but a burial requires that a person be completely covered. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch who wanted to be baptized? Here is the way it was done. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Then when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way, rejoicing. Acts chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Baptism, then, is only for those who have believed in Christ, have repented of their sins, and confessed the name of Jesus as the Son of God. It is by immersion, being completely covered by the water, and for the forgiveness of sins. It is the picture of Jesus' burial and resurrection, the final step in being born again. Anyone who has not yet been baptized for the forgiveness of sins needs to give serious thought to this part of the salvation process. Lesson 5 Questions. Fill in the blanks with the proper answer. Number 1. Baptism is a. Number 2. Peter taught people to be baptized the forgiveness of sins. Number 3. When Saul, Paul, was baptized, his were washed away. Number 4. The Word of God is the planted in human hearts. Number 5. The Ethiopian eunuch, after hearing Jesus preach to him, asked, "What hinders me from being?" Number 6. The gospel in its narrowest definition is the death of Jesus for our, his, and his. Number 7. Repentance, dying to sin, and baptism are that of doctrine. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Number 8. After being baptized, we are raised to walk in of life. Number 9. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into and up out of the. Number 10. Baptism is the of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Mark the following statements, true or false. Number 1. The blood of Jesus washes away sins at the moment we are baptized. Number 2. Baptism is not essential to salvation. Number 3. Saul, Paul, was saved on the road to Damascus. Number 4. Saul, Paul, was saved because of his prayer and repentance. Number 5. The final step in the new birth process is baptism. Number 6. The Philippian jailer and his family rejoiced in their salvation after they were baptized. Number 7. The person who does not obey the gospel will be lost. Number 8. Sprinkling is the same thing as baptism. Number 9. In Bible baptism, a person is completely covered by water. See page 26 for these answers. Number 10. The first person to receive sprinkling as a substitute for immersion was Novatian in 250 AD. Number 11. Sprinkling and pouring as baptism are based only on human traditions. Number 12. Traditions can make our worship to God useless.